The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Mark Slater in the studio. It's Brighton, Catterick and Leicester on Tuesday afternoon, and we'll finish the day with an all-weather fixture on the Poly Track at Kempton. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's John Babb. How are you, John?
Hi, Mark. Hi, everyone.
Are you well?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, well... Actually, the sun is just coming out here after several hours of rain. And I know the rest of the country's getting it, but if it's coming from here, I can tell you there's rain following, sunshine following behind.
Right, good, because it's still dark up here.
Right.
So a bit of sunshine around the corner will be very nice.
Yeah.
We've got the Monday Jory to look at to start with, John, and then we'll get your thoughts for Tuesday. Before we get stuck into the Monday Jory, though, what a weekend we've just had. It was good on the domestic front on Saturday, and even better in France on Sunday. It was a fantastic weekend, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, obviously the Arc weekend always catches a lot of British people's imagination, and obviously the crowd there is probably half British as well. So it was a particularly pleasing Arc yesterday, wasn't it, with Trev, who's probably many people's, well, not even say their favourite, but certainly one that people have got a soft spot for if it's not their favourite. And it was nice to see her bouncing back and winning again after looking at, as though she hadn't really gone on this year, and obviously got troubles with her spine, and which had been documented before the race, but certainly put those behind her yesterday with a very impressive win.
It was very impressive, yeah. And that brings us nicely onto the Monday Jory, because the first question is about Trev. What did you make of her achievement in winning back-to-back Arcs? I mean, that's something, isn't it?
Oh, it's sensational performance for me, and particularly more difficult for one of the sort of the female sex as well, really, for many different reasons. But I don't know whether was it actually confirmed that she was retiring. It seemed to be intimated that she was retiring after the race, and we won't see it again. But she's probably one of the best sort of her sex, really, and probably in my lifetime anyway. Albeit we've only seen a fairly short career, as is the way with top class fillies. But sensational performance, as you say, and one that will be remembered.
Yes.
Because when you look at it, I mean, there was talk, I think yesterday there was time when somebody was going 8-1 the field, and it was almost looking like a handicap, and really and truthfully, it didn't look like a handicap inside the final furlong with her burst of... She certainly spread eagle what looked a very competitive race.
Yes, you mentioned that we think she's been retired. The owners want to retire, from what I can gather, but cricket heads suggesting that she doesn't want her to retire. So interesting to see how that pans out. She's a pretty influential woman, isn't she, when she wants to be?
Rightly so, yeah. I mean, to be fair, when you hear her talk, she does talk an awful lot of sense. Yeah. And obviously her record as a trainer speaks for itself.
It does, yes. For you, was Trev's performance better this year than last? I mean, she got all the allowances, didn't she, last year, and went into the race in good form. This year, there were question marks whether she trained on. She struggled for a lot of the year, and then to do that without all the weight allowances and everything, is it a better performance this year?
I suppose people would argue that going into it, they thought it possibly looked a weaker race this year, hence the competitiveness of it as well, but... I don't know, I thought there was something about the... I know it did open up for her on the inside, but still the turn of foot was very, very impressive. And I don't know, I think there was something more special about this year's, really.
Yeah.
The only other horse for me that was, you'll remember from the race, is the Japanese horse, Harp Star. Most of the other horses will probably just go into insignificance, whereas you often remember unlucky losers, etc., in the Arc, and so that ran well. But really, it was all about Trev, and probably more about the jockey, Yuga Kawada, on Harp Star, who sort of almost went via Paris City Centre, I think, ran the home bend. He certainly ran further than any other horse in the race and only got beat 4 lengths. Quite a sensational performance. Was making ground hand over fist inside the final furlong. And to be honest, I don't know whether they need to change their views and maybe change their jockeys, the Japanese. don't want to sort of take, obviously we're all talking about Trev here, but I do think that there's a lot of build-up every year about, are they going to have their first win? I'm not sure whether they need to start switching to a European jockey in order to be able to pull it off myself. It seems a fairly obvious thing, but you can't go that wide on that ground and win an Arc de Triomphe that's that competitive.
No, he didn't give him much chance, did he?
No, not at all.
Okay, let's move on to the second question in this week's Monday Jory. What can we learn from the Abbey with a view to next year?
Well, I think it's a very, very silly question myself. When you're talking about sprint races, the sprint division is so tight anyway, even from sort of top class handicaps through the group races, you're only talking about a few lengths and really about what horses are in form at this particular time. And also, what was quite unusual was the fact that the ground was a lot quicker than we often get in the Abbey this year, and I think that was half the reason why there was so much trouble. The field was a lot more tight and congested. It gets a lot more strung out, obviously, when the ground's soft and the fields pan out. You're always likely to get trouble, but yesterday was exceptionally difficult. You could say that half the field was had trouble in running at some stage. I mean, the one that caught the eyes to a lot of people was Movie Star at the time. But I think when you look back, the winner and the second and several others also had trouble in running because most of them were trying to get over to the stands rail. And as I say, the field didn't fan out as it normally does because of the faster ground. But what that means as for next year, next to nothing really for me.
Exactly. I mean, you could run that race again next week, and you wouldn't get the same result there next year.
You could argue what relevance would it have if it was run next week as opposed to 2015, and probably a little bit for next week, obviously, but 2015, not for me.
The third question is: are any classic pointers from the Boussac and Lagardère?
Well, I think Found was extremely impressive. Obviously, top class pedigree. Stayed the trip really well, but also had a turn of foot that you could easily see her just starting in the 1,000 guineas next year, and certainly looks like definitely an Oaks filly in the making. What price is she for the Oaks, do you know? Or?
Yes, she was 7-1 straight after the race for the Oaks. I'll just double check what she's at the moment. Yeah, 7-1 favourite now for the Oaks.
7-1 favourite, yeah. I mean, you can see why she's got Oaks winner written all over her, but if you're talking about something that's sort of the best part of 8 months away, you know, 9 months away at the moment. If you wanted to, if somebody was giving you a Christmas present and it was a bet, and they were giving you a £50 bet for Christmas, you wouldn't mind having a £50 bet on that for the Oaks, to be fair, just to lock away in the draw.
Yeah.
I know these things are getting more popular now, giving people betting slips for the presents, but nobody's ever given me one, but I'm sure they will one day.
It'd be nice to get a winning one for Christmas, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
With regards to the classics next year, do you think that she looks more of an Oaks filly than a Guineas filly, the fact that she stayed a mile so well as a two-year-old?
Definitely, but I don't think she... I like the way that she picked up as well, but she's got so much class. Don't forget that the 1,000 guineas mile can often be quite strongly run, and it's early in the season, so they do need to get that mile really well as well. I don't think she'll have a problem early season in the guineas, to be fair, just because she's so classy.
Okay.
If I had to say which one would rather have me free bet for, I'd rather have it for the Oaks.
Okay, so strong for the Oaks. She's 6-1 for the 1,000 guineas as well, if that tempts anybody in. The fourth question is surrounding Sirister Zegler. Is he your idea of a Champion Stakes winner this year?
Well, it's certainly got to be high up on the list. But again, I'd rather wait until the day, because we are certainly getting the change now, aren't we, Mark, with the weather, and see what turns up on the day and what ground conditions are, because we've been blessed this September with fast ground, and as I say, very unusual with Arc weekend being as quick as it was, and this weekend in Britain, obviously, we saw a bit of a change in the going on at Newmarket halfway through the car. Well, at the beginning of the car, when it started raining on Saturday, we've seen a lot of rain across the country today. So, I mean, as regards what's going to happen in Britain in the next week or so, same with the Cesaro, which really, I'd rather have a watching brief and listen to what the people have got to say next weekend when they're nearer the time, when we know what the going is, really.
Yeah, it's crucial, isn't it, knowing what the going's going to be. I mean, wouldn't suit Australia if it was a bog, but if it rained, then it would suit Sirister Zegler, wouldn't it?
So, exactly, yeah.
Okay, well, the market, just for reference, Australia 2-1, 5-2 for Free Eagle, 7-2 for Sirister Zegler, the Grey Gatsby is 9-2, and then it's 10s barring those. So that's the shape of things at the moment.
I thought you were going to preempt the other question. I was going to preempt the other one there, obviously, where most people have talked about Limato. being the impressive horse of what caught your eye over the weekend. I mean, that horse there, because it hadn't run for a little while, has probably slipped under, not under the radar, because she's an unbeaten horse. But compared to Tiggy Wiggy, who's run so many times from day one, which people have really fell in love with Tiggy Wiggy, who's done sensational time performances that have been equivalent to horse rated 120 plus, or which is a fantastic achievement in itself. Limato's done exactly the same here. Has now been unbeaten in four in sort of the sprint division, in that red car two-year-old trophy. I'd like to see those two meet, to be honest. Wouldn't you, Limato and Tiggy Wiggy?
Yeah, it'd be pretty good, wouldn't it?
It'd be a sensational race. I don't know whether we are going to see it, but it'd be nice if there was an end-of-season clash between the two, just to cap off who's going to be the champion of those two.
Yeah.
But they have thrown up... sometimes these sales races are not always loved by everybody, but I do think they've produced two sensational performances this year. Newbury, particularly with Tiggy Wiggy, and on Saturday at Redcar with Limato.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. What other horses took your eye then? I was talking to you before we started recording this, and you're not going to go for a Limato, are you?
No. I'm going to go for two at Wolverhampton, and I'm sure John Ryan will be absolutely praying that he gets in a race on Thursday night at Wolverhampton with EvacuSafe Lady, who was taken to Topeka, like, incredibly. This is a horse that was a maiden for, I don't know, 20 runs or something. Looked as though it was going to struggle to break its maiden. Finally won at Wolverhampton a week or two back. And then on Saturday, turned in an absolutely sensational performance against the clock, and was just powering away at the end. Won by 8 lengths and was going further and further away at the death. I mean, it has got to get a hike of at least a stone for me, at least. So it would be incredibly well in on Thursday night, but it does need a few to drop out for it to get in. But it looks a cold, stone certainty for me if it runs on Thursday night. And then the other one that really caught the eye was Fruit Pastel, who were aged prominently in a race that was run very, very well and very good against the clock early on. It was up there with Wave Guide, and his young jockey Charlie Bennett kicked him in the belly and quickly put distance between himself and his rivals, had them all off the bridle. Obviously was tiring a little bit in the closing stages, but still a very good performance against the clock with that young rider on board. And obviously a horse that's going places this time of the year on the all-weather for me, Fruit Pastel, and definitely want to keep on the right side.
Okay, EvacuSafe Lady and Fruit Pastel, and a couple to keep your eye on in the next weeks and months. Good stuff. Right, we'll leave that there. That's the Monday jury for us for another week, and we'll get John's thoughts for Tuesday next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we start in the 220 at Brighton, which is a Class 5 nursery over it's nearly 7 furlongs this, and we have 13 of them in the lineup here. John, which ones have caught your eye?
The one that caught catching my eye here is Ed Dunlop's Charge, Beach Samba. Ran a race at Redcar recently and was given an awful lot to do by his rider. Finished with... quite a finish, to be fair, and would have won in another two strides. And what appeals to me a little bit more about this horse tomorrow is I think the anticipation that the ground is already changing at Brighton, and I think by the time we get to the 220 tomorrow, I think we'll be racing on pretty soft ground here. And if we look at Beach Samba's pedigree, we can see a whole string of relatives that have won, usually named Brazilian something or other. This one's got not got the Brazilian name, but it's got Beach Samba, which is as near as you're going to get. They've all won on soft ground and shown a distinct liking for it. And to be fair, they've all been rated pretty high, three of them in the hundreds, most of them in the 80s, and raced to a decent standard. This horse has taken a bit of a while to get going, but Ed Dunlop, as you're probably well aware, had a very, very slow summer, was really struggling for winners. They've certainly improved in the last couple of months, and horses are certainly on the way back. And Beach Samba, to me, he's only got to really repeat the red car run on this softer ground, and I think he'll win, and I think the soft ground will definitely bring about improvement. And also, it looks a horse that's going to improve again when he goes to a mile and a quarter. But I don't think the 7 furlongs will brighten all of any fears tomorrow. I think he'll outclass these rivals.
Okay, Beach Summer to outclass his rivals there. Then is there any in there that you're particularly worried about against your choice?
Not particularly. I don't think they're very good. The ones around sort of Designate, Very Moderate Horse, and Rafe Beckett Yard. You probably have to look at Shipwright because it's the first time in a handicap, and Bobby's Girl first time in handicap from decent yards. But the ones down the bottom for me, they're selling platers, and I think Beach Summer's experience, and as I say. This will be strengthened tomorrow if they say soft ground, but I'm reading the reports at the moment from the track and the weather reports. It looks like it will be that way, but if it says soft tomorrow in the going description, it's definitely going to be Beach Samba.
Okay, Beach Samba then in the 220. The 250 at Brighton is the next race we look at, and this is a Class 5 maiden auction stakes, and it's over the same extended 6 furlongs. It's for 2-year-olds, and Vegas Rebels had more chances than most here, John. He's hit the crossbar on a few occasions. Is today going to be the day that the door opens?
Yeah, I do. I think so. Coincidentally, he did run on the same card as Beach Samba last time out at Redcar. And it was a race that was run slightly differently to the Beach Samba race. This race was run quite a bit stronger earlier on. And Vegas Rebel was up there. He fought most of the rivals off. And they've drawn 5 lengths clear of the third horse, but was only beaten by an impressive horse, first time out from David Barron's yard, called Swift Emperor. I don't think he did anything wrong at all. Being by Alfred Noble, I'd expect him to go on well on softer ground as well. He has had a fair few chances, like you say, but I don't think he's done a lot wrong in quite a few of these. He's just run into decent performers. I don't think he turns it in at the end of his races. He's got fairly consistent performance. And I'm looking at this race tomorrow and thinking, well, what have I got to beat? And have I got anything that's going to make the market for me? In terms of having, I don't want to be putting up something that's going to be odds on. But I do think that with Dallaire coming from the Roger Varian yard, with finishing third on debut in a very slowly run race at Epsom behind Harlequin Striker, that's going to be fancied in the market, as is Inca down the bottom from the Jim Boyle yard, which has put 2 runs together as well at the same race, to be fair, first time out at Epsom. But I don't think it's strong form, that Epsom form. And for me, Vegas Rebel will probably be given a chance by the bookmakers in terms. I think they'll be prepared to try and take him on because, like you say, he's run 7 times, hasn't won. But if you look at his performances, they're pretty consistent. It was a slow debut run at Kempton, but all of his other runs, he's really running to his mark, and I think that mark will be good enough tomorrow.
Okay, so Vegas Rebel then in the 250 at Brighton, and we go to Kempton for the final selection. This is in the 735, and this is a maiden over 1.5 miles for 3-year-olds and older. And I suppose that Galuppi and Shining Glitter are going to be the two that the market's really going to focus on. Are either of those two on your shortlist, John?
Definitely Shining Glitter. He'd be the selection. Bit of a, obviously, Galuppi's a fairly well-bred sort, as a son of Galileo. But on the... I don't know. I don't like the layoff, to be fair. I've been off since April. That would worry me coming back at this time of the year, especially with the sales around the corner. Sometimes you don't know whether they're trying to just get a run in before they get to the sales to show their well-being, etc. I look at others in there. Archimedes showed nothing on debut. And a couple of these are obviously looking for their third run for handicaps that are going to be big prices. You've got Mobby included in that, really, with Paolo Sirogo on. He's having his third run shown very little, although be from a powerful yard. And then you're left with Will to be from the Nick Lippmann yard. Now, I haven't really liked this horse's attitude, to be perfectly honest with you, so far, Will. He's got a mark of 70 and Shining Glitter, receiving £5, and also the very useful £3 that's got Cam Hardy, comes with Cam Hardy's apprentice allowance. Shining Glitter will be receiving £8 from Will. I'd find it very difficult to think that Shining Glitter, if he doesn't repeat those two, or she doesn't repeat those two runs, sorry, behind Sweeping Up and Sleeper, round this course and distance in the last 6 to 8 weeks, I think that'll easily be good enough to see off Will. And then we've got to basically just beat the Kamani charge that's been off. And you wonder, it's a serious question mark as to where it's been for the last few months. But these performances are well up to a horse rated 75. They seize the trip out well. Cam Hardy, very useful, taking off that extra 3. As I say, I think it's going to be a very difficult horse to beat. I'd like to think that with the presence of the Kamani horse and also the Lippmann horse to an extent, we're going to get a shade of odds against. That's what I'm hoping. But I would have thought anything around sort of 5 to 4, 11 away would be a decent price for this horse.
Okay, shining glitter then in that race. Sounds like three fairly confident selections. John, just spin us through them one more time.
Yeah, definitely. Beach Samba, probably be the strongest selection for me in the 220 at Brighton. Then we've got Vegas Rebel in the 250 again at Brighton. And then we're going to wait for the 735 at Kempton for Shining Glitter. And I'm just a little bit careful at the other two tracks tomorrow, Catrick and Leicester, just a little bit concerned as to what actual ground conditions are. It's a little bit unclear at the moment.
Yeah, so stick with what we know. Good stuff, John. Thank you very much. It's been nice to talk to you. Good luck with your selections and enjoy it on Tuesday.
Thank you very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of John Babb on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Mark Slater in the studio. We have Brighton, Catrick and Leicester in the afternoon. We have an evening fixture on the All Weather at Kempton as well. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.